Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Creator. Chapter 8. The Terms of Presentation, Acceptance, and Delivery of an Offer. One of the aspects that sponsor the media in general in contemporary times is the publicity or advertising, that is, the announcements of the offers of the offerers to possible recipients of the propositions. Nevertheless, even if people acquire many products and services offered to them, most of the offers presented to people end up not advancing indeed to an agreement of acceptance between the offerers and the recipients of these offers. Many offers presented in the world do not materialize, in fact, in acceptance and delivery because the recipients do not understand them or do not want them. But many offers also do not advance to an actual delivery because the recipients of the propositions do not meet the requirements established by the offerers. Offerer and recipient of the offers need to reach a minimum agreement for an offer to advance from the stage of a proposition to the step of a real delivery of the content of the offer. A person, for instance, can dream of acquiring a particular asset. One can imagine oneself using or occupying the desired asset, but still be very far from being able to reach the minimum terms to acquire or receive what is desired. Moreover, even that what is offered for free to people is associated with terms of how it is granted, accepted, and delivered. The fact that the offerer declares that an offer is granted for free does not mean that it is offered without any term or that it should or will be accepted by the recipient of the offer. The recipient, for instance, may reject a presented offer precisely because it has no cost and price for him or her. The recipient may reject the proposition offered to him or her for free for thinking that something that is offered for free is probably also of little value. Therefore, still about the aspects mentioned in the above paragraphs, we understand that it is very relevant to point out here that the Gospel of God also presents specific terms to be offered, accepted, and delivered, and which knowledge and understanding can be vital regarding the acceptance or rejection of what is being offered. Considering that the Gospel is the expression of an offer, it is also unavoidable that the offerer of it must state what the terms are so that it may be received by the recipient of the gospel, even if this gospel is offered to be received for free or according to the grace of God. Furthermore, the fact that the gospel of God can be freely received by the recipients is precisely one of the points that characterize one of the most explicit, fundamental, vital, and immutable terms that are associated with the offer, acceptance, and delivery of this gospel. The gospel of God is offered by the grace of God, and only by this way it can be received. The gospel of God is not buyable, exchangeable, or achievable by human efforts. The gospel of the Lord can only be accepted as a gift from God to those to whom it is addressed. Although the gospel is the best and most significant offer that a human being can receive in all his or her life, it is offered under the non-negotiable condition or term of being able to be received only by way of a gift and without the need to pay for it. The fact that the gospel is granted by grace is not a point that seeks to benefit only those who do not have the resources or who have few resources in the world, but it is a term applicable to all people who want to receive it, because, in the face of the magnitude and sublimity of the gospel, absolutely no one in the world would be able to offer something that could even come close to the value of what is offered by God through the gospel. If someone wants to pay a price, offer sacrifices, do penances, or do works for God or the gospel to merit receiving or acquiring it, one places oneself in a position contrary to the irrevocable terms of God for the granting of the gospel and disqualifies oneself from the condition of an acceptable recipient of the gospel. The gospel is a heavenly gift presented by God to reveal and offer the love of the Lord to all people. And the divine love does not require or accept it to be purchased. The love of the Lord is given freely and for free to all those who want to receive it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5, 8-11. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Romans 5, 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. On the other hand, as mentioned earlier, although the gospel is presented as an offer that can only be received by heavenly grace and not by price, effort, or human sacrifice to deserve it or to buy it, the offer, acceptance, and the receiving of the gifts of the gospel of God are not entirely devoid of terms for a person to come to access or receive them in his or her life. Although the gospel is offered by grace and without the need for payment by the recipient, a condition that is unchangeable, the acceptance and the receiving of the gospel specifically in the life of an individual are associated with the recipient's acknowledgement and invocation of Christ as the Lord and God as the only eternal Creator, actions that are carried out respectively in the heart of a person and by the confession of one's mouth. Romans 10, 8-13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 8, 37. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Revelation 14, 6-7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. The gospel of God is an offer presented by God by His grace to all human beings. However, considering that the gospel is an offer, receiving it in the personal life of the recipient is inevitably associated with the terms of this offer, which basically are to believe in God, in His redemptive work through Christ Jesus, and by the verbalization of the acceptance of Christ as the Lord of one's life. In the text of John 3, verse 16, and other texts of the Scriptures, God's statement about what motivated Him to reveal the gospel to the world can be clearly seen. But these texts also show the functioning of the process of acceptance of the offer presented by God to the world. God loved the world in such a way that He gave Christ on behalf of all human beings. However, it is by the condition of believing in the Lord and in the gift of God that everyone who believes is enabled to receive this gift of eternal life in his or her personal life. Despite the immeasurable greatness of the gospel and the incalculably beneficial consequences it provides, the terms of receiving the gospel of God are very simple, but they are by no means disposable or despicable. John 6, 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. John 1, 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. John 11, 25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 20, 30-31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The perfect and most important gift a person can receive is granted in the simplest way that can exist, but, still, it is part of this same context, the non-negotiable condition that the recipient of the gospel agrees to receive it or receives it in conformity with the way the Lord has established for that a person can welcome it. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. John 3, 17-18. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 1 Corinthians 1, 22-29. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The gospel of God is offered by the grace of God to everyone, but it is conferred only to those who also accept to receive this grace of the Lord in their lives. Romans 3, 21-24. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5, 17-18. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. And although the granting of the offer of salvation and eternal life, which is the gospel of the Creator, is associated with terms so simple and that are the same for all, with no partiality or respect of persons, it is precisely the simplicity by which God offers the gospel that also represents a difficulty or stumbling block for many. Many people in the world are accustomed to trying to circumvent the terms of how many propositions are offered, accepted, and received in order to get what they want, but the terms of the granting and receiving defined by God in relation to the gospel cannot be circumvented and nor subjected to manipulations, bribes, or corruptions. The terms of salvation by grace are terms also opposed to the terms of the attempts of salvation by works. And God does not, under any circumstances, accept the attempts of merging some endeavors of salvation by works with the salvation by grace and through faith in the Lord. A person cannot work or perform works to deserve or conquer the heavenly grace. The grace offered by God for salvation and newness of life is not something that one conquers by his or her own efforts or merits, but it is something that is accepted or rejected. Ephesians 2, 8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Romans 11, 6. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace, otherwise work is no longer work. Galatians 2, 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. Romans 4, 6. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Thus, similarly to the previous chapters, once again we would like to point out that 1. Whatever God grants through His gospel, He grants it through the Lord Jesus Christ. 2. The acceptance of the grace of God also passes through the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being God the offerer of His gospel, God Himself established that if one receives Christ in one's heart as the Lord, he or she also receives the saving grace of God. On the other hand, if one rejects Christ, he or she also rejects the saving grace of God. The acceptance, in the heart, of Christ Jesus as the Lord is a term or condition that is present in the whole process of offering, acceptance, and receiving the gospel of God and the gifts that accompany it. Acts 4, 11-12. This Jesus is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Hebrews 1, 1-4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. John 1, 12-13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1, 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, 9-13. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, he who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Finally, considering that the topic of this chapter also contains a more detailed approach in the various specific subjects on each of the compound names of the Gospel of God, such as the gospel of God's righteousness, the gospel of salvation, and the gospel of God's grace, we do not intend here to extend ourselves further on this point so that we may also, in the present subject, keep the focus of addressing the list of the group of topics that are associated with the presentation of the gospel when it is seen as an offer from the Lord to the world.